ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I wrote the letter to the Herald Times reporter in the opinion section against the pastors that were standing for homosexuality. And I prayed, Lord, help me to do this in a way that's loving and that would challenge them to look at what they believe. He gave me just the words to say. Now, I pray that they read it. I pray that they're thinking about it. You know, I challenged them because they said basically, and I'm going to share the letter probably in a week or two or so. I'll share both letters. But they basically said that we're non-judgmental. We love everyone. So the key for them, love is being non-judgmental. And I said, in my letter, I basically said, that means you accept everything and anything. So there's nothing wrong because then you would be judgmental. I said, you don't feel that way. You make judgments on things that are right and things that are wrong. And we make judgments on things based on God's word, not how I feel. I pray that they're challenged by that. I'm not trying to put them down, but I want them to evaluate their stand on immoral lifestyles. And we need to contend for this faith. I like, and it'll be a few weeks before we get to these verses in Jude, but in verses 20 and 21, Jude said, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You want to be effective in your Christian life. You want to be able to defend your faith as others attack. Be built up in the faith. Study the Word of God. Meditate upon the Word of God. Be in prayer. Keep yourself focused upon God. One writer said this regarding soldiers in a battle. He said, soldiers who have fought in battles say that when bullets start flying, the mind goes blank and switches to autopilot. This is where the proper training is of paramount importance. Soldiers cannot be expected to be effective in battle if they've been shown something only once. They must be drilled in military skills until those skills become second nature. Then when the bullets start flying, trained soldiers will automatically respond with the appropriate action or maneuver without conscious thought of what should be done. There are many battles in the Christian way of life. At any moment, we may suddenly find ourselves attacked for our beliefs. When the bullets start flying, if we're not prepared, we'll not have an appropriate answer or action to defend our faith. When suddenly put on the spot, it's common for our mind to go blank. At moments like these, we are only as good as our training. If we as Christian soldiers are not properly prepared, we'll be sitting ducks to worldly thinking that denies God and promotes self. It's only a matter of time before we end up casualties in the spiritual war. But if our soul is inoculated with God's word, we will have already answers to defend our faith, and we're going to respond with the right action, grace. When we're occupied with Christ, we'll not react with uncertainty, anger, or self-righteous judgment. We'll be imitators of our Lord, calm and graceful under fire, confident in our belief and considerate of others in theirs. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes or the wiles of the devil. And you know, for me personally, you know, many of you know that I was an ICU nurse for some 30 years, worked in ICU, cardiac care, open heart units, and no military background, but lots of intensive care work. And I was trained and trained and trained. And when there's a code blue, when someone's arrested and their heart goes into what we call ventricular fibrillation, where the heart's just quivering, no blood's being pumped, nurses respond in all kinds of different ways. Some of them will go get the AMBU bag to give them oxygen. Some will start compressions. For me, it's an electrical problem, and you have to deal with the electrical problem. The first thing I go, I get the crash cart, I put the pads on them, I charge them up, and I yell, clear, boom. And usually the first shock is given before any doctors or anyone else gets there, because that's what they need. Why didn't I get fearful? Why didn't I go, oh man, I don't even know what to, because I've been trained. This is second nature. This is the problem. This is what I need to do. And there's all kinds of problems that can happen, and you evaluate the situation and you deal with it as you've been trained. Same is true in our Christian lives. How are we going to respond? It's because we've taken in the Word of God. And now God brings, by the Holy Spirit, brings that Word forward, and we're able to deal with these situations. We're able to give answers. One of the questions this week, one of the young girls asked that, why is God called God? I mean, it was a great question. I said, well, usually a lot of times his name is, he's called Yahweh, because he becomes to us what we need. He's everything that we need. And man, that was like one of those questions you go, wow, I don't know how I'm going to answer this in a short period of time. I was kind of like bewildered at first. And the Lord just said, you know what? Yahweh, just I'm what they need at any given moment. Thank you, Lord, because I could have given like 3-hour teaching on that one. And that's not what they needed. They needed something simple. I like what Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. He said, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. How do you prepare for battle? How do you train? In the things of God. You have to know what you believe so you can defend your faith before others. Continue to grow. And in the Greek, it's saying, never stop. You keep growing in the grace of God. You know, if we ever think we know it all, look out. How could you know everything about an all-knowing God? You can't. And he always reveals things to us. You know, I shared with you before, man, I'll be reading a passage of scripture that I've probably read 30, 40 times, and I'm reading it, I'm going, wow, I never saw that there. How could that be? How can it? Because the Holy Spirit was opening it up to me. I was seeing it. And that's how we grow, in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We learn of him. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Did you notice here it doesn't say set your mind on CNN. It says set your mind on the things where? Oh, above. We are so focused on everything that is going on in this world. And isn't it amazing? Every day there's new prophecy coming to pass, and you could spend your entire life dealing with that. But what about setting your minds on God? What does that do? Setting my mind on things above. He's told me the end of the story. You see, when I start focusing on the things here and what these people are doing and how could they get away with this and what's happening over here? How could this happen? What's happening to me? Oh, I'm getting angry. Now I'm mad. They don't get away with anything. As I told the kids this week, God wins. God wins. He's not losing now. Because he's already told us what's going to happen. You set your mind on the things above so that the things of God can flow not only into your life, but through your life. Because those people that are so anti-God and hateful and just want to smack you are the ones we're to love. You know, it would be really nice if God said, you know, Joe, I'm going to send some really cute, adorable people your way, and you're going to share the gospel message. And they go, oh, thank you, Joe, for sharing. That's so wonderful. I accept Jesus. How many of you have had that experience? Yeah, none of you, right? Because it's usually a battle. Why is it a battle? Because Satan doesn't want them saved. So you pray. Jesus sent the disciples out 2 by 2. Why? I think one of them was praying, and the other was sharing. Prayer is so important because this is a spiritual battle for the lives of these people. And even if they get angry and they don't want to hear it anymore, you shared with them and you pray, Lord, maybe all this anger is conviction in their life. Maybe they've heard about you, and maybe one of their relatives or grandmother was a Christian, and it's just eating at them. Wherever they go, they're hearing about Jesus. I remember my wife, she had to go years ago up to Minnesota to Mayo Clinic, and she was with a friend up there because I had to come back to work down in Chicago. And there was this woman there, and Julie was sitting next to her waiting for the bus, And the woman said to my wife, where can you go to find a good man? Okay, well, my wife goes, well, you know, going to church would be a really good place. Oh, my gosh. You should have heard her. And I won't repeat it, but you should have heard her. She was so angry. Wherever I go, all I hear about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And my wife is like, yeah, he's probably trying to get a hold of you, right? And when they got on the bus, I don't know how this happened. My wife didn't sit with her friend. My wife was sitting by herself, and the only other spot for this woman to sit was next to my wife. Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. So God was working on her heart everywhere she went. Someone was sharing Jesus with her. You see, that's how God works. It's that conviction, and people can fight it. But you pray, Lord, soften their heart, open their eyes that they may come to saving faith. And it's not easy, you know. In verses 22 and 23 of Jude, Jude said, and some have compassion, making the distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh. So again, this is not a battle to see who can win and who can lose. It's a battle of the souls of people. And as you encounter those who believe in the lies of the devil, Jude wants us to have compassion on them. Don't you feel sorry for them? Because I was there. You were there at one time. And you reach out to them in the love of Christ. You know, the love of God tends to lead most people to repentance. Because aren't people looking for love today? They are. I mean, look at all the shows that are all about love. It's just not godly love. But they're looking for love, and they never find it on these shows because it's a fleshly love. It's a love, you give me what I need, and when I can't get any more from you, I'm going to somebody else. And here God says, I love you unconditionally. I died for you because I love you. And many come to faith through that. But the other end of the spectrum, there are some you have to dangle over the fires of hell. You know, God will show you, His Spirit will give you wisdom in what to say. But most of the time, probably 90, 99% of the time, people need to hear about the love of Christ for them. But there are those that have to be, you know, dangled over the fires of hell. You know, some 282 years ago, a sermon was preached entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God by Jonathan Edwards. He preached it at Church of Enfield in Connecticut on July 8, 1741. And one writer points out, the focus of the sermon is on the predicament of the sinner, how dreadfully he dangles just before he plunges to eternal agony, and while he has time to repent and be saved. And this is just a small excerpt from what Edwards said. He said, you hang by a slender thread, with the flames of divine wrath flashing about it, and ready every moment to singe it, and burn it asunder. And you have no interest in any mediator, and nothing to lay hold of to save yourself, nothing to keep off the flames of wrath, nothing of your own, nothing that you ever have done, nothing that you can do to induce God to spare you one moment. It wasn't really a touchy-feely type of message. But here's the thing. Jonathan Edwards had not really good eyesight, and he spoke in a monotone. And he would just read his sermon, and people would be falling on their knees, repenting of their... He had to stop and take a look. And then he continued on. How could that be? I mean, he wasn't flashy. He wasn't entertaining. He just... Because it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's doing the work, guys, not us. We think, if I only presented it this way, you know what? What God gave you, trust in it, and pray that that person's heart would be open. Some people need to understand that apart from Christ, that's where they're going, to be dangled over the fires of hell. But again, like I said, for the most part, people need to feel that they're loved. And again, that's something that with these children, every single one knew that they were loved and cared for, that we love them, and we want them to know Jesus, and we want them to have fun to learn about Jesus, and they did. And it's because we're speaking the truths of God found in the Word of God. We have to contend for that faith that's been entrusted to us. You know, we can't be passive sheep. And I realized, you know, sheep have really no defensive weapons. I've never heard of anyone saying that they were attacked by a killer sheep. It could happen. There was a sci-fi movie, I have to admit, about killer sheep, but, you know, it was sci-fi. then how can we do this? How could we accomplish this? Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit we can accomplish these things. But we have to understand the battle is intense. Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 tells us how difficult this is. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." In other words, they're very good and slick. And, you know, we tend to think of Satan running around in red underwear with a tail and pitchfork. Are you kidding? What does it say here? That he's an angel of light. He's a deceiver. And isn't it interesting? You hear these people that have their near-death experiences. And where do they go? "Oh, I saw this bright light that was beckoning me to come to it." But they never speak of Jesus. When we are absent from these bodies and we go to be with the Lord, you know who the first person we're going to see? No, not Peter. We're going to see Jesus. He's going to be there welcoming us. But Satan deceives people, and he's very good at it. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Looks like his workers look like a teachers of righteousness because he mixes the truths of God with subtle errors. You know, again, we did it with Vacation Bible School. When Satan was tempting Jesus, Jesus said, "It is written," and he used the scriptures to put Satan down. Satan used the scriptures. He just twisted them or changed them to make it sound what he wanted or make it say what he wanted to say. But Jesus said, "It is written," and that's what we need to say, guys. I'm sorry, that's a wrong teaching, because it's written here that that's wrong. Here's the truth, and we have to be aware. We have to pay attention, because the battle is very intense. Paul, writing the Corinthians, again, this is from the Amplified Bible, the same verses I read, in 2 Corinthians 11, said, "For such men are false apostles, spurious counterfeits, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles, special messengers of Christ, the Messiah. And it's no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So it is not surprising if his servants also masquerade as ministers of righteousness, but their end will correspond with their deeds." Yeah, they're good at it. But again, the warning is that the church is sleeping. The church is not paying attention to what's going on, and they're not standing up. I think over the last few years, we've seen what's been going on in the school systems, and we're seeing parents, we're seeing Christians rise up to say, "Enough is enough. You need to teach the fundamentals to these children, and not woke teaching, not transgenderism, not to be, if you want to be a cat, you could be a cat." You know, I have no problem when little kids pretend to be dogs and cats or whatever they want to be because they're little kids. When you're in high school and you're doing that, you've got a problem. Sorry, you can send me your emails and letters. That's an issue. Why are we allowing this? And now the church parents are rising up and saying, "Enough is enough. We're not standing for this anymore. You start teaching like you're supposed to be teaching. We'll deal with the personal issues at home. You deal with English, math, science, history. You deal with those issues." About time. Paul in Romans chapter 13 said, "And do this, knowing the time that now it's high time to awake out of sleep." Wow. "For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." The Lord's coming back. "The night's far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let's put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." There you go. How do I react in a world that is so against what I believe? With the love of God. Yes, Jesus was hard against the religious leaders, but you look at how he responded to people, and he responded with love. He always reached out to them and gave them an opportunity to come to the faith. And that's what we have to do, guys. It's really easy to get mad, but let's bring that before the Lord. "Lord, help my heart, because I want to represent you, because they may not like what I have to say, and that's okay. but soften their heart that one day they can come to saving faith. Because that's really what this is about. You know, the gospel, Jesus Christ, that's our mission here. The faith that we're bringing to people. That's what we're contending for. And we're going to face battles. Again, Paul in 2 Timothy 3 said, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Why are we being persecuted? Because we're obnoxious? No, we're living godly lives. We're standing up for the things of God, and that's why they're persecuting us. They want us to be conformed into the world's image. And we're saying, no, I'm going to be transformed by God. I'm going to stand up for the truths of God found in the Word of God. So we have to persevere. We have to forge ahead. I don't know if any of you heard of this baseball player, Clint Courtney. No one had a card for Clint Courtney, huh? No one knows who the guy is. Well, you don't have to go to Cooperstown, New York, because he never came close to making the Baseball Hall of Fame. Not even close. I don't even think there's a picture of him on a bubblegum card. Poor guy. He wasn't a legend in his own time, and not even in his own mind. I guess maybe for his family and a few diehard fans, but that was it. He played catcher for the Baltimore Orioles in the 1950s. And during his career, he earned the nickname of Scrap Iron. It implied that he was playing hard, he was weathered, he was tough. And the guy broke no records, but he broke some bones during his days as a catcher. He had little power or speed on the base pass. He had no grace. He made easy plays look really difficult, but he had his mitt and mask, and he didn't flinch from any challenge. You know, batters missed the ball and caught him on his shin. And, you know, back then they didn't have all the protective gear that they have today. It was definitely limited. The foul tips hit his elbow. Runners plowed into him, spikes first, as he defended home plate. That's when you could actually defend home plate. Now, you know, you can't hit the guy anymore. A lot of times he was just doubled over in agony. He's laying on the ground in a heap of dust, you know. If he was a soccer player, you know, he would be down for a long time. But he never quit, which is crazy. He would shake off the dust, punch the pocket in his mitt a couple times, nod to his pitcher, throw another one. And the game would go on. And this guy was scarred, bruised. He'd clutch his arm in pain. He had tape, splints, braces, all kinds of paraphernalia to help his wounds. A lot of them made fun of him. They called him a masochist, insane. But others remember him as a true champion. Why? Because he persevered. And that's what we're called to do. Will we get battered and scarred? Sure. But persevere. There's this battle out there. Contend for the faith. The faith. I'll close with this. And this study this morning in our series on earnestly contending for the faith, this is from the Amplified Bible, and this is what Jude admonishes us to do. He said, "Beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation, but I found it necessary and was impelled to write you and urgently appealed to and exhort you to contend for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints, the faith which is that sum of Christian belief which was delivered verbally to the holy people of God. For certain men have crept in stealthily, gaining entrance secretly by a side door. Their doom was predicted long ago. Ungodly, profane persons who pervert the grace, the spiritual blessings and favor of our God into lawlessness and wantonness and immorality, and disown and deny our sole master and Lord, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One." Guys, again, we are to contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. Let's forge ahead in prayer and in the love of Christ. Don't leave out that love of Christ, because it's really easy to get angry at this world. We can justify ourselves very much, but justifying the flesh is not a good thing. Let's walk in the Spirit so we're not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. Let us bring Christ to people, the love of Christ that the world is looking for. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, it's not easy. You know, these messages are hard, because we have to examine our hearts to make sure that we're not compromising what we believe in to fit in, that we are contending for the faith, that we're not just sitting on the sidelines doing nothing, but we're standing up for the truths of God found in the Word of God according to the love of God. And may we not forget that love. Father, that is so important, that agape love, the unconditional love that none of us deserve, and yet you've given to us, and now we're to extend to others. Help us to do that. Father, we pray for friends, family, for our communities that may not know the Lord, that, Lord, you give us an opportunity to minister to them. Lord, that they would come to saving faith, because that is our whole mission here, to go out into the world to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, to have them come to saving faith and to teach them the things of God so that they too may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.